This is the Credit Union Leadership Podcast with Mike Neal. Michael Neal and Associates has been consulting credit unions for nearly two decades. He and his team help companies with three aspects of growth: cultural development, leadership, and management development. To learn more about how Michael Neal and Associates can help your credit union grow, visit michaelneal.com. Producing this episode, I'm Chad Harrington. This is season one for the Credit Union Leadership Podcast, and it's called How to Create a Thriving Credit Union Culture. Today's episode is about employee engagement. Mike Neal talks about the difference between employee engagement and buy-in, what engagement really looks like in a credit union, and his advice about how to increase employee engagement at your credit union in a natural way. In this episode, you'll hear what Mike has learned over his years by consulting hundreds of credit unions. As a bonus, we've got a special guest, Christine Blake, one of Mike Neal's clients and the CEO and president at Cardinal Credit Union. She shares the story about how Michael Neal and Associates helped her increase employee engagement at Cardinal Credit Union. Here's Mike, starting with the definition of employee engagement, a critical piece of the puzzle for credit union leaders who want a highly engaged workforce.
Let me begin by differentiating a couple of terms, and I think that will be helpful for the definition. So the term that is used a lot in any organization is buy-in. We need to get buy-in. We want to create buy-in into what we're doing. We can't move forward till everybody buys in. And that term has been so trivialized now. It is diminished currency. I've been in so many meetings where people have been asked, do you buy in? And the heads got nodded up and down, you know. And then 3 months later, you find out that person has been doing nothing. Nothing. So what I've figured out over the years is, here's what buy-in means. I agree with the concept, but I have no plans to be personally involved in its implementation whatsoever. In other words, I buy into the idea that we need to improve the service to our members. Who couldn't do that? Does everybody buy in that we need to commit to better service to our members?
Right.
Yeah. It's just I'm not.
Right.
I'm not changing. I'm not doing anything different.
Yeah, I'm okay with you saying that. That's great.
Exactly. So let's everybody do that, and I'll be right over here continuing to do my same thing over and over again. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it in management meetings when the CEO goes, all right, we're not going to move forward until everybody buys into what we're doing. Does everybody buy in? You know, all the heads nod up and down. And then next thing you know, 6 months later, you've got some branch manager who's been doing nothing that they had agreed to do, and then says, well, I was busy. So buy-in is this idea that I'm okay with the concept, but I have no plans to be personally engaged in it whatsoever. Now, the reason I want to give that contrasting definition with engagement is we create, many people do, buy-in and engagement to be synonymous terms, and they're not. So my definition for engagement is this: it's the emotional and intellectual commitment to something that produces a behavior. And for those that listened to episode one, there's that word again, behavior. Because engagement creates behavior. So it's the emotional and intellectual commitment to something that produces a behavior. And now I think you can see the striking contrast between buy-in, I agree intellectually with the concept, and behavior. I'm intellectually and emotionally committed to it to the extent that I'm going to change my behavior.
And do something about it.
Absolutely.
Mike, what's an example of a credit union that you've experienced where employee engagement was not where it needed to be? Like, what did low engagement look like?
One of my really good clients, Cardinal Community Credit Union in Mentor, Ohio, I was working with them, and going through the same process that I've gone through with many credit unions very successfully, and we were getting no traction. No traction. The employees were not changing their behaviors in all the ways that we had trained them to and encouraged them to and put in measurement systems to see if they were doing. It wasn't happening. And I went to lunch with the CEO, Christine Blake, and Christine asked, "Well, Mike, why is this not happening?" And to be quite honest, I was kind of stumped myself because what we do over and over seems to work, but it wasn't working here. And I said, "Let's try something. Let's try something." I said, "Let's start tracking how much money your employees are saving for their members when they move their loan from another credit union to your credit union. Let's calculate how much money your employees are saving for your members when they move someone's account from a bank where they were paying a fee to your credit union where it's free." And so we developed this spreadsheet, very rudimentary spreadsheet, and we started doing that.
My name is Christine Blake, and I am the CEO and president of Cardinal Community Credit Union. We had lunch, and we sat down, and we talked to Mike and said, "This is not moving as fast as we had anticipated. It's not moving at the aggressive pace that we believe Cardinal can be moving." And we sat down, and we started talking about ideas of how we can get it to move, what we can do to move it faster, and we came up with this concept of saving members money. And when we came up with this concept of saving members money, we then designed a blueprint for implementation for that. And that included we were now going to measure on a weekly basis how much money we save members each week. We were going to post it in our lobbies. We were going to use it as part of our communication to our membership. And that's what took place at that lunch, is the genesis of this idea of saving members money and coming up with a plan of how we would roll that out.
In your opinion, what really, if you could kind of boil it down to one thing, what made the project successful?
I would say what made it truly successful was having the entire team pull together and understand the purpose of what we were doing. That was the key to our success.
So, you know, Mike and I talked about kind of the irony of really engaging with your employees and getting them to invest into this at a heart level. Because essentially, you could get someone to check off the list and do the outward actions that it takes, but there's something about the heart, you know, and so it's Cardinal Credit Union. So how do you engage people on a heart level for that kind of change?
Our recognition program, so to speak, is another component to it. So every month when we do our employee newsletter, we usually feature some article that one of our staff has submitted about how they have saved a member money. So then other people can see, oh, look what we Cardinal, look at the tools we have now that we didn't have before. Look what we're able to do for members and people. And then you learn from each other. So every month when the newsletter is out, there's a different article in there every single time about a success story. We have quarterly all-employee meetings, and we recognize people and share stories at that time of success that we have. We have internal meetings on a biweekly basis where we go through the mechanics with our loan officers and staff and MSRs of what we were able to do. So communication of what we were able to do, because then someone takes that idea and takes it a step further or implements it in a different way. So that part of it has been a key component for us, of everyone understanding what we're able to do.
Yeah, that's great. Christine, just one last question. How have you seen that change that you and Mike initiated back, you know, 3-4 years ago?
How have you seen that trickle down and affect your credit union culture even until today?
If you ask anyone in our credit union today, any of our staff, what our mission is, and we changed our mission at that same time, our mission became to brighten our members' financial future. Everyone understands, everyone can tell you what the mission is. If you ask our members about our Saving Members Money program, our staff, they are all well informed of our purpose. And having everyone in a credit union, that is a difficult piece to get everyone on the same sheet of paper, everyone with a clear purpose. That takes time and a constant reinforcement and refreshment of that, because as you're getting new people or you have turnover, and making sure that we're all talking the same language has been another key component for us.
That's Christine Blake, one of the credit union leaders whom Michael Neal and Associates has consulted along their journey toward becoming a credit union with highly engaged employees. You're listening to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast with Mike Neal, where Mike helps you, the credit union leader, to create a thriving credit union culture where you live. To learn more about the services that Michael Neal and Associates offers, visit michaelneal.com. And now back to the story. Here's Mike on the results that came from his work with Christine Blake at Cardinal Credit Union.
In the first 6 months, this credit union, it's at that time it was about $175 million credit union. In the first 6 months, Cardinal Community saved $1 million for its members. $1 million. And one of the credit union publications came and did a story on the credit union, and it was amazing to watch the transformation. The next year, the full 12 months, they saved their members $7 million. They went from $1 million in 6 months to $7 million in 12 months.
Was it just from measuring how much they're saving?
That's exactly what it was. But it wasn't the measurement tool. It's what the measurement tool did. You see, and let me validate the story. About 2 years ago, we did a huge academic research project with the Feline Research Institute. And I'll let all of our listeners have that research for free. They can just go onto my website and request that research, and we'll send it to them.
And what's that website?
MichaelNeal.com. And it's N-E-I-L-L, of course, MichaelNeal.com. And the research report is called Attributes and Skills Common Among High-Performing Credit Union Sales and Service Performers. Kind of a mouthful, but you get the idea. Yeah. Right? These are people that are great at both selling to members and giving great service to members. And so what we did is we took 10,000 credit union employees, gave them some assessments, measured their results in selling, and gave them some attribute-based testing, some mathematical and verbal skills testing. And what we did is we boiled down till we had maybe the top 6 or 7% of performers out of those 10,000. And we began to look at what is similar among them. And one of the things we found was very striking. A credit union employee has more in common with regard to the way they think and what motivates them with someone who works at the Red Cross than someone who works at another bank. A credit employee has more in alignment in the way they think, act, and behave and what drives them with employees that work at the Red Cross than employees that work at a bank.
So what was significant about that in terms of increasing employee engagement?
Great question. What we have a tendency to do with our employees is to manage them and their selling just like the bank would. So what we try to do is we try to convince people who don't want to sell but who want to help people that selling is not bad. Sell's not a four-letter word. Actually, it is. But we said sell is not a four-letter word. Yeah. It's not selling. It's telling. It's not selling. It's member education, this sharing, giving thing, but not selling.
Right.
And so we try to convince them that this is different. And they're like, oh, okay. But then when the manager sits down with them, what happens? Well, you were supposed to sell 50, but you only sold 40. So that's 10 less you were supposed to sell. So now you got to sell 60 next month to average 50 for the 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to really get after it this next month if you want to average 60, because that's like 50% of what you actually did. But now we're a week into the month and you already haven't done any. So now you got to do 60 in 3 weeks. So I don't know how you're going to do that, but you better have to, you know, really focus and get after it and go for it and push it and work it. And questions? Have a good one. Well, I mean, so what you're doing, you might as well be saying this. Well, you were supposed to rob 60 liquor stores, but you only robbed 40 liquor stores. So you got to rob.
Like saying that. Right?
It's the same level of immorality. It's like, dude, I don't want to rob any liquor stores, you know, but you know, you got a liquor store robbery quota, you know? And so because they believe that this is something they're doing to the member. And so they're not engaged in it. They want to do just enough not to get in trouble. And so we focus on this outcome of something they don't want to do at all. And then we wonder why we're having to push them. So what happened? At Cardinal Community, now the conversation was this. Last month, you did an amazing thing. By yourself, you saved your members $7,000. Now what happens? This is now in alignment with their heart. This is now in alignment with the way they think. And they want to do more of that. They want to do more of it. So what happens is, to create engagement, we have to create a culture that is in alignment with what makes our employees' hearts sing. It's what makes them passionate at work. Nobody wants to sell more gap insurance, but if they understand what they're doing is they're protecting people from being upside down in an automobile that they're going to have to pay money on if it gets totaled, even though they don't own the automobile anymore, and they know a story associated with that, that makes all the difference in the world. And so $7 million in the next full year, $7.5 million the next full year. And so what's the difference? It's the employees became engaged in the idea that this was something I'm doing for their members or my members, not to my members. And we changed the way the coaches now had the opportunity to talk with their employees because we were measuring something that seemed to be in alignment with what the employee wanted to do. And so just to continue on, I did a webinar, a nationwide webinar with Cardinal Community several months ago after they'd gone through this entire transformation. And it was amazing. Employees were asking if they could get on this nationwide webinar to talk to everybody about how wonderful it is, what they're doing.
Wow.
The same employees who literally wanted to harm me when I was there the first time. I mean, they were not for me, right? It's like, if something bad happens to that dude before he comes back, that'll be great.
Right.
That'll put an end to this. These are now people saying, Mike, I know you don't have a lot of time, but can you interview me? Because I want to tell everybody about what's happening at my branch. And it was one of the most amazing experiences. And again, great credit to Christine Blake. Great credit to her management team and the employees. But I'd love to say I'm a genius, but we really stumbled into it because the research project came after this epiphany, and it really validated that what we were doing at Cardinal was the right thing to do.
Right. It's interesting that their name is Cardinal, because you were engaging them on a heart level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, linguistically, Cardinal goes back to heart.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool to see the transformation that happened with them on their hearts. And then they weren't just like obligated to, quote, sell, unquote, anymore. They were excited. Their heart was beating faster for
right.
them.
Right. And that's a great story. That's a great idea. And that's what it was. You have to lead people into something that they believe is the right thing to do. People may buy into something that they have to do, but they're not going to be engaged in something unless they desire to do it.
So we've talked a little bit about what it can look like to transform employee engagement. Talk to me kind of on a high level about the state of employee engagement today in the United States. In other words, what's wrong right now? And what does that look like, not just within the industry of credit unions, but kind of nationwide?
Well, the foremost researcher of employee engagement is the Gallup Group. Of course, their name's probably familiar to many people. They do a lot of research and surveying around the world. There's an annual Gallup Group survey of employee engagement, which comes out in the spring of every year. The results are always terrible. The latest are still terrible. 52% of employees say they're disengaged in their work. In other words, this is something I have to do to be able to pay my bills. 52%. And on top of that, another 16 or 17% say they're actively disengaged. Actively disengaged. As opposed to just not caring about work. You don't care about work and you don't want anybody else to care about work. So what you're doing is you're actually encouraging others not to care about work. So the truth of the matter is you're now in the 70% range of disengagement on some level. And it manifests itself everywhere we go as consumers. The cable company, healthcare, we see it over and over again. People who don't care, who want to do the minimum level, and we then are victimized by that experience. So what causes it? Well, here's the interesting thing. The Gallup Group estimates that multiple millions of dollars have been invested over the last several years, tens of millions of dollars, to improve employee engagement. And it's not improving. It's staying right where it has been the last 10, 15 years. It's not moving at all. So how could that be? You would think, okay, we're going to invest monies to improve engagement. So we're going to create employee engagement surveys. We're going to respond to these employee engagement surveys. And we're going to do things that are going to create employee engagement. And here's what's happening, though. Organizations are investing in everything that doesn't improve engagement. Exercise facilities, nap rooms, employee massage, pizza days.
It makes them happy.
Jeans days, right? It has everything to do with stuff that doesn't happen between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday. It's almost like saying 8 to 5 Monday through Friday is going to be bad. Let's just reduce your stress.
Right.
Right? So again, what we're doing is we're attacking the things that don't facilitate engagement but make people happy. You know, there are people that sell everything they own and move to a third world country to improve the life of marginalized and powerless people. They're very engaged.
Right.
I don't know if they're sitting around going, man, I am just, this is great. I get to wear jeans. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting that people think that sometimes if we can make work less hard, then that creates more engagement. And what we know is there's a lot of people that are very engaged in work, and the work's hard and challenging and complex and difficult. But that's almost the sign of engagement, that people invest in that.
So talk to me about how leaders can do something about this. How can they effectively increase employee engagement in credit unions based on your experience in a way that's natural and relational?
Yeah. So in our last episode, we talked about creating a compelling mission. So now is when we're going to communicate to people in a way where we're tying everything back to our compelling mission. Most organizations implement changes in a way in which they don't seem to be tied to a central theme. I don't know if any of the listeners have heard their employees say things like this. There's a lot of change going on around here. There's just too much change. Everybody's stressed out because there's a lot of change. Can we slow down the change? And the reality is that the reason they're saying that is not because there's too much change, because let's face it, we are experiencing change and have experienced change at a pace that we have to deal with, which is far more rapid than our parents, and we live day to day.
Right.
So people can accept a rapid rate of change. What happens to our employees is this. They hear things like this. In this next year, we have three major initiatives to convert our core processing system, to implement three new products, and to find three viable merger partners. And everybody says, oh, it's going to be a lot of work, man. Oh, my gosh. So those all seem to be disjointed. So imagine if I did this, Chad. What if I said, Chad, when we're done with this podcast, I want you to get in the car, and we're going. We're out of here. What's your first reaction to that?
Where are we going?
Exactly. And you're assuming it's not a good place, right? Or else I would tell you.
Right.
So what happens is, to some extent, you don't know where we're going, but you feel a little bit kidnapped because you don't know exactly where we're going. And now what starts to happen? We go down Carruthers Parkway. And things that you've passed every day on your way to and from work, now they have stressful meaning to you, because you're getting farther and farther away from where you knew you were safe. And I'm like, calm down. This is going to be good. All right. You know, we're almost to the interstate. Yeah, I know. We're going to get in the interstate. Which direction are we going? So you're getting more and more nervous the farther you're getting away.
Without direction in your mind about where you're going.
And so everything that you see, everything you pass, creates more stress. So suppose I take you to wherever it is that is your happy place. And I say, Chad, here's $10,000. Enjoy yourself. Wow, that changes things.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I'll say, why were you so stressed out? Why didn't you just tell me where we were going? I wanted it to be a surprise. See, when we start making changes and the employees don't know exactly where we're going, and that it's a good place that we're going, every change is seen as this stress point where we're getting farther and farther away from where we were when I knew what I was doing, when I had everything figured out, and I knew my job. And now this is going to be hard. So it creates this stress. So what happens now when I do this? In our continuing effort to improve the financial well-being of our members and the communities we serve, we're going to focus on three initiatives next year to facilitate us living out our mission in a more full way. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to implement a new core processor. This is going to allow us to serve our members more efficiently, more quickly, more accurately. And while it's going to take some time on our end to learn how to operate in that system, it's going to allow us to have information about our members that's going to serve them more effectively and understand their needs in a more full way. Additionally, we're going to be looking for some other credit unions to merge their culture into ours so that there are more and more members and more communities that are positively impacted by the unique way in which we approach how we save our members' money. Now, what do I understand? This is all part of our plan to do something great for others. Now, do I still understand this is going to be work? But it's meaningful work, and it's powerful work, and it's work that makes a difference. And so now people are more likely to follow you into that and be engaged. And so it starts with taking that compelling mission and then using it to explain every single thing that you're doing.
You've been listening to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast with Mike Neal. If you want Michael, Neal, and Associates to help you and your credit union develop a thriving credit union culture, visit michaelneal.com.